I'm your motivational stripper, Michael Lorsch, and welcome to this week's episode of Downhill Dog. Yes, another week, another topic for the guide to trying. And this week's topic is the S word. What's the first thing that comes to mind? Is it seagulls? Perhaps it's sandalsvacations.com? Or maybe it is sex? Well, it's not any of those, and I know you want it to be about sex. Believe us, we're going to get there. But this week's episode is all about stress. She is a powerful leader with a vision that helps shape the lives of so many. A yoga teacher whose classes will take you to the next level. Please welcome to the show a bombshell of honesty, face, and grace, Miss Ty Heathcote. Ty, welcome to the show.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so happy that you're finally here and that we're able to talk a little bit more about stress. But before we get into that, 2018, we're a few weeks in. How's it going for you?
It's good, Mike. They say it takes 21 days to form a new habit, so it takes 3 weeks. So if you have stuck up to your New Year's resolution.
Yeah.
It's the 26th today, so you're doing great.
Oh my goodness. So habits are forming. Okay. Are there any habits that you're hoping to form this year?
Yeah, and some to drop. One of them was a pretty powerful lesson in learning to say no so that your yeses mean that much more.
Learning to say no so your yeses have more of a currency to them.
Exactly. Ooh. I'm a yes girl, so this is a lesson that keeps coming up for me and something I committed to with an intention for 2018.
Okay. And now one thing I know that's a part of your life, mm-hmm. and my goodness, I wish it was part of mine.
I know where you're going.
Is that you are a dog mother.
I'm a crazy dog mom.
You're a crazy dog mom. Yeah. What is your dog's name?
Her name is Pinot, as in Pinot Noir.
Is that what we're drinking right now?
We're drinking some Pinot Noir.
Oh my goodness.
It's true.
I hope it's not from your dog. But listen, the dog mother, and for everyone listening, I am a huge, huge dog fan. And unfortunately, this is the first time in my life where I haven't had one. But what's it like being a dog mom holding down a full-time job?
It's true. I'm a working mom. Pino's two, so we've had her for almost 2 years. She is 6 pounds of fluff and love and so much energy. It's the best feeling to come home after a long day, and she's so excited to see you just jumping at the door. And I have a partner who makes it all possible, and like, getting a dog is no easy feat, that's for sure. And luckily she's apartment size and lovable and goes wherever we go, so it's so much fun.
You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. You really can have it all. So you do like the dog birthday thing.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Dog bar mitzvah, bat mitzvah in this case. You even throw in Christmas, even though this dog is apparently Jewish at the same time.
According to you today, yeah, for sure.
I love that. Well, know that I am so in envy that you get to live your life with this little... What is a lesson that you think you've learned from being a full-time dog mom?
I mean, it's just about having fun. And if you're not having fun, then what's the point? And he is so amazing at reminding you to be present and to look up and to say hi to strangers. That has been a big thing when you're on a dog walk. You're constantly talking to people. And I think that's something that we've actually lost a little bit, especially in a city like Vancouver. People are so, you know, tuned into their phones and not each other. And being able to say, hey, how's it going? And have our dogs interact has been really great.
The dog is the perfect gateway drug to a social life.
It's true. I promise.
If anyone is feeling stuck in their social life, just go get a dog or learn to approach dogs in public like me. So I mentioned Drag Race and everything. And of course, last night was the premiere of All Stars 3. I don't know if anyone's into Drag Race here or not, but I am a big, big fan.
Yeah.
Have you seen Drag Race before?
I have, yes.
Yeah, but not so much right now.
I haven't seen the third one yet, so I would stream everything. So I haven't quite.
Got it. Okay, so what is good right now for you? What are you watching? What are you into? What's got Ty's eye right now?
Yeah, for sure. How to Get Away with Murder is definitely something I'm all about.
Why is your penis on a dead girl's phone?
Thank you.
Is that that right?
Thank you. That is so right.
Oh my goodness. I want to say that to someone in my life.
That's an incredible, incredible show. So that's something that I keep up with. And then for a little bit of lightness, we watch Life in Pieces, which is kind of like a Modern Family, but a little more irreverent. That's one of our favorites too. And I mean, to be completely honest, I'm trying to spend more time with books and podcasts than I am with Netflix, which has been hard to do. That's where I'm at.
Well, listen, you're spending all of the time with podcasts
so
right
excited.
Now, and we're going to be spending a lot more time together as we move forward in our show. Of course, talking about stress, we're going to hear a lot about Ty's own experience with stress. Mm-hmm. But before we get into all that, we need to get to know Ty a little bit better. So I'm going to just channel the divine Miss O and welcome you to the next segment. And that, of course, is Send It to Oprah. Send it to Ty, what I'm going to do in this segment is I am going to begin a sentence and I'm going to ask you to complete that sentence.
Okay.
Okay, does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And if I want to, we may dig a little bit deeper if I think you're skimming the surface. Does that sound okay?
Perfect.
I am a motivational stripper after all. Not only do I remove my clothes, I also remove your barriers. So here we go. Is that cool?
So cool.
Okay. Ty, I miss
the sunshine.
The sunshine?
We had a little bit today, and that was it. I'm from Kelowna. I'm from the desert. And when I first moved to Vancouver, I couldn't get over the rain. And I know that we were warned about it, and I know that that's just the way she goes over here. But I need some sun.
I'm chasing.
I just keep thinking like goals, dreams, something kind of cliche along those lines.
Well, what does that look like for you? What is something that is a goal for you right now?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I know we'll get into this a little bit later, but I'm coming off of a year and a half teaching sabbatical. So I'm chasing teaching again.
Mm.
I'm not really chasing it though. I'm sitting here in Lotus, super comfy, and it's coming to me.
You're attracting it.
I'm attracting
You're manifesting it. Everybody hold your crystals. Here we go. I'm worried about
the world, the whole world, just what's considered okay right now in politics, in culture, in not just the States, but anywhere here. And I've been following the USA Gymnastics scandal and the court hearings that were actually just finally coming to a close now, which is really incredible.
Do you know where that ended up? I haven't heard about this.
The gymnastics coach was molesting and sexually assaulting his athletes anywhere from ages like 6 to 20. They were young girls, young gymnasts. And he just came into their own homes with their parents there or someone who they trusted. And just, I can't even put into words how absolutely horrible it was. And he was finally sentenced to something like 175 years yesterday.
Lock him up.
Yeah, and he had to sit through all of these girls and women's testimonies. And they had to tell him how he ruined their life. And he, after day three or something, was like, that's enough. I can't take it anymore. And the judge.
How dare he even say that he can't take it anymore?
He wrote a letter
your ass in that velvet chair.
Yeah, I hope they didn't give him a velvet chair. Well,
no, I hope they.
A chair I think they gave him.
I'll tell him what to sit on. Let me tell you that much. I'll tell him what to sit on. There does seem to be a shift happening the world right now. And my therapist, and yes, I do have a therapist, was telling me that it's like a sliver being pushed out of the skin and that this is the point where the sliver is about to come out.
Yeah.
And nobody can deny that that sliver is there.
Yeah.
So the sexism, the racism, the homophobia, the ethnocentrism, we can't deny that it's there.
No. And I think we're on the cusp of something really amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, I partook in the Women's March last weekend. It was incredible. It was absolutely eye-opening, and we learned a lot, and there were some incredible speakers from some incredible organizations, and I just stood there in the freezing cold rain and wind and just thought, like, fuck, I am so privileged, and I am so lucky, and whatever I can do to help, like, sign me up.
Yeah. And there's a lot of work to do.
So much work to do, yeah. Sorry, that took a turn.
No, that's what the Downhill Dog is all about. We're all about taking turns and getting lost and, you know, all of that great stuff. So yoga to me is...
just life. So yoga means to yoke, to bring together, and it means to bring together the Trinity, so the body, mind, and spirit. And I feel like we are getting caught up in the asana part, the physical practice, and that's easy to do when places are advertising yoga as a fitness activity, which, let me tell you, it absolutely is not. And in the same breath, like, that same way of thinking led me to yoga. So that's just how she goes sometimes. But yeah, yoga is life. Yeah.
I am.
Whole and complete, just as I am right now. Always have been.
Have you always known that?
Absolutely not. Mm-mm. No. And I mean, it's easy to say those words right now sitting across from you, but it's another thing to wholeheartedly believe them every single day in those trying times and in those moments of, you know, rough patches and anxiety and stress, like we're just going to talk about. But I think what's so important is that you just always come back home to yourself, and you've always been there. Mm. Yeah.
You've always been there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you might change. And I mean, I've changed a lot over the past like 5 years, say. And I think that has to come with being young and learning and all the things that come with being in your 20s. And I'm not ashamed of who I am. I'm not sad about who I was. And I'm just looking forward to continue to grow into myself.
If you could say one thing to that younger self, what might that be?
I think it would be, I love how open you are, but you don't need to let everybody in. I think I would tell her to hold your close friends super close and share with them what you're going through. I used to be an avid blogger, and so I would wear my heart on my sleeve literally for the entire internet. And it grew and grew, and like I had a couple posts that got bigger than I could ever imagine. And I remember people being kind of a little bit too in tune with what was going on with me, and that was my own doing because I shared that. And there's nothing wrong with sharing, and if that's therapeutic for you, by all means do it. But I think there's something important about just really sharing with the people who are closest to you and being kind to everyone else.
Your community.
Yeah.
It's who you are choosing to, I'm reading the book, The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck, which everybody seems to be reading that, but it's the people that you give a fuck about.
Yes. The people who give a fuck about you.
Yes. In your day-to-day life. And that doesn't mean you're unkind to everybody else. No. It just means they can't access your emotional labor and your emotional energy.
Absolutely. It's so draining to try and hold yourself up all day long. So I'm not saying put on a mask, but I think my younger self just had so much to tell and wanted to tell absolutely everyone, whether they cared or not. And sometimes that backfires. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, we are going to spend a lot more time with you as we get into the guide to trying and on stress and all of these things you mentioned about this idea of draining and wanting to be everything for the world. I'm sure we're going to explore a little bit more of that and how it relates to stress.
Yeah.
So right now we are going to open up yet another chapter and fill it in. That's right. It is the guide to trying.
The guide to trying.
All right, everyone, here we are in the guide to trying, the meatiest part of our show, which is what all of my boyfriends have said about me. So this episode is called the S word. And of course, we are talking about stress, something that all of us have a relationship with. And Ty, you're a yoga teacher.
I am.
Yeah, you help people deal with stress through building a practice and showing them some coping mechanisms. But I understand, why don't you tell me a little bit more? Because I actually don't understand that much about your own story with yoga, being a yoga teacher, and finding yourself having to take a bit of a break, a sabbatical from teaching yoga. Can you tell me the story a little bit more about that?
Absolutely. I would say the beginning is going to yoga with my mom as a kid and getting to see how she dealt with it, and tools that I could use to deal with stress, whether it be in school or whatever else may be happening to someone who's super young. I think I first did yoga when I was like 12 or 13.
Do you remember that class?
I do.
What was it like?
It was like a community center. So it wasn't even a beautiful studio with incense going and lovely music. It was, again, kind of for a fitness crowd versus the true yogi, whoever that might be. I'm still trying to find that out. But my mom went for the physical benefits for sure. And then, you know, subsequently, of course, you're always going to get those mental, emotional, and spiritual benefits. And I went with her and then kind of dropped it for a little bit, as kids do, and then rediscovered it again on my own in high school. And I went to a Bikram class. And so if you know anything about Bikram, it is a hot room with carpet, which is crazy, but that's just what they're known for. And they have a certain sequence that you practice over and over and over.
You lost me at carpet.
I know. It's just what they're known for. I'm sorry.
They're known for carpet?
Well, so Bikram is a man.
Bikram's a man.
There's a lot of scandal around Bikram.
Yes, I have heard this scandal.
A lot of scandal around Bikram, but there is a craze around hot yoga. I think that's finally dying off. But in Kelowna, there was a Bikram studio, and I went with a couple of girlfriends, and it was so hard. We were sweating. There's people who like are passing out. There's people who are just in child's pose because that's all they can do. And then there's the people who are putting their knee to their nose, making it look so simple. And there's something about Bikram that I'm thankful for. And then the rest I will never do again. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to let it go. The carpets. My goodness.
It's gross. It's disgusting. I don't know why. It's something about keeping the room warm.
Why does somebody want a stanky ass carpet?
Mm-mm-mm. And it was like plush, gross. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I'm going to throw up. No, I'm kidding. That is still one of the grossest things I've ever heard. But no, hey, I love a hot class.
Yeah.
And if you choose to practice on carpet, all power to you. But sorry, keep going. So Bikram was one of your first classes.
Yeah, so I find it again in high school, and then just keep coming back to it. Just kept coming back to it. Just kept coming back to the mat and to not necessarily Bikram. That was kind of like the gateway drug for me. And then off I went, exploring in so many different forms and throughout university. And then there was a point when I was applying for universities in grade 12, and I just didn't feel good about it. I was a straight A student, like on a roll, like all the things. And when I came home and told my parents that I actually didn't know if university was for me right now, they were completely shocked. And the truth was, I just wanted to be a yoga teacher. I wanted to go to Bali and I wanted to study yoga. So that's exactly what I did. I got on a plane and I went to Indonesia all by myself. I was 20. I was the youngest person in my entire teacher training.
Holy shit.
By far. Yeah.
Wow.
And it was the best thing I've ever, ever done. Yeah. And that was 5 years ago.
That was 5 years mm-hmm. ago. Can you tell me just a little bit about being 20 years old in Bali, Bali Total Fitness, Bali yoga experience. Can you just tell me a little bit more about what that was like?
Yeah, so there's two types of teacher trainings for the most part. There's an immersive training, which is what I did, and then there's one where you will study over a period of months every other weekend or whatever like that if it fits around your work life. But I needed to go away and I needed to be immersed in this world and this culture and these teachings for me to really get it. I don't think I could have been working at Starbucks by day and studying yoga at night and being completely immersed in it the way that I was. So I'm in this beautiful, beautiful place. I know no one. It's the first time I've traveled internationally, let alone by myself. And I just had to rely on myself for so many things, and I wrote about it the entire way, which was great, and it was able to help me process by writing about it. And then, yeah, it was 30 days basically of 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. just studying and being there. And then I remember getting home and from the airport and lying in my mom's house. So I was in my old bedroom at my mom's, and I was just like, that was crazy. That was like a dream. And so to hang on to that and to capture that, all of not only like the anatomy and the actual learning, but the spirit and the feeling that you get of one, knowing that I was capable. I walked out of that training ready, like in my own brain, ready to teach. I later learned that there's a lot to learn. And most good yoga teachers will feel a sense of like unworthiness because it's just the tip of the iceberg. Anyhow, yeah, Bali was incredible and I taught right away. And I taught right up until about a year and a half ago. And I taught while also working a full-time job. And I found that as much as it lit me up and as much as I truly believed in what I was doing, I wasn't able to give my whole self to my classes, to my students, because your class isn't just a 60-minute asana class, namaste, and we're done. There's everything that goes in behind the scenes. And it was so much time. So I was, how old was I? Like 22 or 23. And I was in Victoria at the time. And I was helping these two wonderful ladies open up a yoga studio. So they were personal trainers and horseback riders. So they had an equestrian community. And they had this idea to build a studio. And they just needed a yoga teacher. Simple enough. And then I met them through my place of work at the time. And I was building a studio with these ladies, and I was also building my own practice and my own self, and I was excited, and I dove in head first, and then I decided I should write a book too, and then I decided I should probably work more because I need to save up for another training, and next thing you know, I'm not sleeping because I'm writing, and I'm at work, and I can't focus because I'm daydreaming. I'm daydreaming about sequencing classes, and when I'm in class, I'm so happy and my students are so happy, but then I get home and I'm depleted. Mm. I'm completely depleted of any energy, of any creativity, and of I don't have anything left for my friends and my family and my partner. And that in itself is a bit of burnout and a bit of stress. And I had basically a mental breakdown for such a young age too, and it happens, and that's why I wanted to share that, is that there is a phenomenon of burnout in young people. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean that it doesn't happen to others, but there is something so unique about it when it happens to people from 20 to say 30. And just because it happens once doesn't mean it's going to happen again, but you just have to stay on top of your stress management and of your lifestyle and learning to let go and whatever that means to you.
So you've learned, you've that's given us a story. You've learned a heck of a lot from that experience. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
It was horrible, but I would do it again to learn. Yeah,
of course. So I'm going to just dig a little bit here and tell me if it's too far. Can you give me an example of what did this mental breakdown, as you said, what did that look like?
It looked like being at work and sizing the tank wall, organizing tanks, and almost falling asleep standing up because I wasn't sleeping when I was home. There was a lot of things. It was a summer, so it was super warm. Our house was so hot, I couldn't sleep upstairs. It was too hot for us to sleep in Victoria. No one has air conditioning. I'm from Kelowna. We have air conditioning. So I would go downstairs where it was a little bit cooler, and I would lay on my yoga mat, and I would actually try and sleep on my mat because something about my mat felt safe. It was, you know, it was the door floating in along the icebergs to Rose in the Titanic. She clung onto it for dear life. And I feel like that's where I was at that point in my life. Like my mat was my safety net.
And there you are on your mat, just like whistling in the dark.
I'll never let go. I'm here. I'm
here. Just asking, sleep, please sleep. No, I don't mean to make light of Kate Winslet's situation or yours. But okay, so you made your whole life about yoga and about chasing this dream and you burned out.
I burned out so hard, Michael. So hard. And I denied it the entire way. And it literally took an intervention of my closest friends and family to be like, this isn't okay anymore. Like something's got to give. You have to give up this or this or this so that you can just have a life.
Can I ask, why do you think you tried so hard?
That is the question. I try so hard at everything I do. Nothing in my life comes effortlessly. I really admire people who appear to have it all and don't necessarily like have to put in a lot of grind time. But no, that's never been me. I was always the kid to study really hard and do really well, but it was never quite good enough. And that those were only my own standards. Those were no one else's. And I took that into my teaching. I took that into my study of yoga. I was reading the Bhagavad Gita at 3 a.m. because I thought I needed to know it all. Mm. And that is simply not the case.
You know what? This reminded me of a time back when I wanted to be an actor when I was quite young. Or 18, whatever. And I remember seeing Fantastic Four with Chris Evans in it. And I loved Chris Evans. How you doing, Chris Evans? And I remember just being a little shit.
Yeah.
And getting so angry that my parents weren't ready to take me to auditions in Toronto. Yeah. Mom, I'm missing my opportunities. Yeah. I put so much pressure on myself to succeed. And I share in a lot of what you were saying that we put so much expectation on ourselves. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, we think that expectation may come from other places.
Absolutely.
That we burn out. Mm-hmm. And we get stressed. Mm-hmm. What, if you could define it, and I know there is like a Canadian Medical Association of what stress is, but and we'll get there. But what is stress to you, if you could define it?
I mean, and I just want to clear up, like, stress isn't necessarily a bad thing. Stress is a catalyst for change, and it's a catalyst for, survival mode. And it's absolutely necessary to humankind.
Yeah.
And the difference between a good stress and a bad stress and anxiety, it's kind of like all, you know, tangled together. But it just is not a natural state. So it's a state where you are hyper aware. It might be a state where your heart is beating really fast or your palms are sweating and you're just on high alert. Yeah. And your nervous system is going full blast because it thinks something bad is going to happen to you. And the truth of the matter is most times nothing bad is going to happen to you. But your body doesn't know that because your brain is telling you to either like fight or flight or whatever that may be. So stress is just like a very like hyper state of the nervous system.
I really like how you said it's a tangled thing.
Yeah.
Right? And that's what we're going to untangle with the rest of our time in the guide to trying is what stress actually is. And I really love that you shared that you believe stress is not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah.
If people can take one thing away from this episode is, oh, I just need to de-stress. I've been buying too many shoes. Like, fair enough, maybe. But stress is not a bad thing, right? When we think of stress back in the day, I'm talking way back in the day, like caveman.
Yeah.
Stress was a really important part of our survival as a human species. You know, like you were saying, it was the thing that lit our nervous system on fire. It was the thing that let us know something dangerous was going to happen or may be happening. It was the thing that said, that noise, it's a saber-toothed tiger. Let's get out of here. You know, that was what really, we were aware of our dangers. It was the physical reaction when our body feels as if it's going to be under attack.
Yeah, exactly.
And you so well put it that, nowadays, our bodies can't really tell the difference between when we're actually going to be under attack, which hopefully never happens. I hope that doesn't happen for any of you listening. And from when that is obviously false.
Exactly. Yeah. You could be in a classroom taking an exam, but your body thinks that you're being chased by that dinosaur. Yeah.
So what are our modern day dinosaurs? Like if you could describe it, if you had a little list, what are some of the dangers in this world that you pick up on, that your stress level picks up on?
I mean, I think for most people, it's work, it's finances, it's am I enough? It's what are people thinking about me? Are people thinking about me? And the truth of the matter is, like, there's a really beautiful quote that I brought with me, letting go is not releasing, it is allowing what already is.
Ooh. Okay, slow down.
Yeah.
Slow down. Say that one more time.
Letting go is not releasing. It is allowing what already is. So if you're letting go of stress, right, and you're surrendering to God, I am letting go of this, and you have a particular thing in mind, it's not to say that that's necessarily bad, but what you already have is great, and what already is perfect. Otherwise, you wouldn't have it.
That's actually really beautifully said. I think, you know, we get into these places of not enough. I'm not thinking that I have enough. And mm-hmm. I think it's, you know, say what you will, I think it is part of our society. It's part of what we're really being told right now. But I think that's right. I think we need to say everything at this point in time is as it's supposed to be.
Exactly. Yeah.
And if we're tuned into that moment, we can make the next best choices mm-hmm. when it comes to whether we are stressed or not, how we continue to be able to live a life alongside stress.
Yeah.
Because you're right, it's not about getting rid of it.
Yeah.
It is actually about not getting through it even. It's about getting along with it.
Oh, I love that, Michael. Getting along with stress.
I always say, you know, anxiety, depression, and I think stress can fit into this. It's like our loud family member or neighbor, you know, our loud family member or neighbor. We don't need to necessarily snuff them out or, you know, call a hit out on that person because they're part of us. They're part of our community. They're part of our neighborhood. But it's just when they're getting too loud, mm-hmm. you got to say, hey, just quiet down for a second.
Yeah.
I'm in charge here.
That's right.
I got the wheel here. You need to just, you can stay. You don't have to go. Mm-hmm. I accept that you're there, mm-hmm. but you just got to quiet down. I'm in charge.
That's right. And there's some tools that you can use to quiet that stress down. And, you know, they don't have to be sitting with a tall spine and closing your eyes and thinking about the divine. Although I love doing that. And I know you do too. It can be anything from just a quiet moment on your own. It can be sending a positive affirmation out to someone that you're thinking about. And please send one to yourself while you're at it.
Can you give an example as to what that might look like? What does a positive affirmation look like?
Yeah. So, for example, I have a sister who is 16 months younger than me. So we're super close in age and super close. As a relationship, but she's in Kelowna. She's at home with my whole family and I'm here in Vancouver, and I'll think of her throughout the day and I'll just send her love. I'll just actually in my brain imagine a light around my beautiful sister, and I trust that she'll feel it. And then I'll talk to her the next day and see how her day was, and we'll catch up and whatever else. And at no point did I say at 3:52 p.m. I sent you light and love, because she would probably hang up the phone. But you just envelop that person in positive thought. Yeah.
Envelop that person in positive thought. Go ahead and try that today, everyone, or after you're done listening to this podcast, at least, or send it to me or Ty.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, so I think we've determined a lot here when it comes to stress. Number one, stress is not a bad thing. Stress can actually be kind of a positive thing in some ways. And I think we can hit on that, you know, you mentioned it can be motivating. Mm-hmm. It can be build resilience mm-hmm. in us. And of course, in those times where we may need it, it can save our life.
Yeah.
In certain ways.
Yeah.
So really, the problem is not with stress. The problem is actually that people are not taking the time to renew themselves.
That's right. To deal with it. To renew is a beautiful word. To refresh, to let go, whatever that might be. But there are tools and there are practices and there are rituals, whatever you want to call them. But if you're suppressing that stress, you're suppressing it day by day, and you're just saying, I'm going to suppress it with TV. I'm going to suppress it with, even if it's sleep. Like, I'm such an advocate for sleep because I experienced a time where I didn't have any and learned a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's about knowing what will trigger you to have a stressful episode, or if you know that something stressful is coming up in your life, say you have a big presentation at work. You're going to, the night before, have a little self-care, a little bit of grounding, so that you don't go into a spiral of stress and anxiety and ultimately burnout.
Mm-hmm.
And that's different for everyone. It could be a bubble bath. It can be chocolate cake. It can be just sitting there with your eyes closed and taking a fucking breath, because when was the last time you did that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think there's another conversation here, because we're kind of talking about what we hear as self-care.
Yeah. Such a buzzword right now.
It is a real buzzword. Yeah. And a lot of the time it is about those pleasures in life. And I'm so on board for that. But I'm also a huge advocate for self-care actually being the harder stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like one of the ways that I help deal with stress, because I'll give you an example. If I, way back in the day, and by that I mean like the beginning of the year, I would tell myself, oh, you know what? I just cannot go to the gym today. I have this to do and I just need to rest. I need to rest. And I think you're right, because you mentioned that, you know, this rest for me became an escape from the actual work that I had to do. So I would rest, but then I would be stressed on the couch all night because I'm thinking, oh, well, I didn't do this and I haven't done that. And I'm not really living into who I want to be there. So what I decided to do at the beginning of the year is make a commitment to discipline and actually just, especially when my body is saying, maybe just rest. And there's times where that's true.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. There's times where that's true. I will go to the gym instead. And then when I do get home, I'm not stressed.
Yeah.
I'm not stressed because I know the work is done.
The work is done.
And I haven't avoided the work.
Yeah. There's and I love that you say the work, because that can mean literally going to the gym, like you're saying, or it can mean having a tough conversation with someone. And that's the work, and that's the self-care, is cutting out a toxic relationship from your life, or really just delving into something that you're avoiding, but you know you need to do. Yeah, I love that you brought that up.
So renewal can really, it can come from a kind of the buzzwordy self-care. If you need to take some time and have a bath, or if you need to watch your favorite show or eat a tub of cookie dough, go for it. Go for it. But be aware and listen if that's actually what you need.
Mm-hmm.
Or perhaps what you actually have to do is a little bit harder. Perhaps self-care is finally sitting down and looking at your finances.
Yeah.
And creating a strategy for that. Maybe self-care is, like you said, Ty, either writing a letter or getting on the phone or sending an email to a relationship that is not serving you or is not helping you anymore. Or, you know, or maybe it is getting a foot rub.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it is that. But I just want us here to be aware, and our listeners out there to be aware, that renewal is not always easy. Because
in fact,
a lot of
it's not usually easy.
I don't think it is.
Yeah.
And I think that we get this false idea of what self-care might be.
Yeah.
But I love, oh my goodness, I love pleasure. I live for furs. No, I don't. I don't live for furs.
We're animal friendly.
We are so animal friendly. Oh my goodness. I wish I had more animals.
I should have brought pee.
I was going to ask you to do that. Okay. Now, I see a book that you have here on the desk.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about that book?
Okay. So I brought a book that really helped me through my, I don't even know what to call it. To this day, I don't even think it deserves a name, honestly. But I brought a book called Thrive by Arianna Huffington. And what I love so much about this book is she talks about her own experience of burnout. And she talks about the importance of self-care and nurturing yourself and knowing when to really just like cut it out and just be real with yourself. Again, it's called Thrive. I love it. It came out like several years ago. But I think
that's Arianna Huffington of the Huffington Post.
That's right. She, I am obsessed with her and I am obsessed with the Huffington Post. And there are so many great pieces of this book. And one of my favorites is actually a quote that she brought in from a poet. But she has quotes sprinkled throughout the book. And I am a quote junkie, absolutely a quote junkie. I love quotes. I've hoarded them.
I think a lot of our listeners are in that same boat.
Totally. Like, you just need that little inspo to get you through the day, whether it be something you saw on Instagram or something someone said. There's so much power to the way words are arranged and how they make you feel. So it's actually a quote from Ian Thomas, who is a poet. And it is, every day the world will drag you by the hand yelling, this is important and this is important and this is important. You need to worry about this and this and this. And each day it's up to you to yank your hand back and put it on your heart and say, no, this is what's important.
Amen. Take me to church.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is what is important. Mm-hmm. And it speaks to the whole, not just perhaps the heart, although maybe the heart is the whole for many. I think it is for me. But it's also what I talk about when I talk about reclaiming your time. So, and this triggered that for me, is that so much in our day wants to take our time away from us. And that's not a battle. We don't have to fight against it tooth and nail. We don't have to be that person that's like, you know, and being short with everybody. But this is why I wake up early.
Oh, I love that.
This is why I wake up early, because I want my day to be on my time. And I found this, especially when I was feeling like I needed to sleep more. And this is not something against people that need to sleep more. Thank you. I get your emails. this is just saying, if I take that extra time before I have to be at that meeting, before I have to be at work, before I have to pick up the kids, I don't have kids, before I have to.
I get to
define my day before someone else does. And I really think that's important.
I love that so much. And when I say I love that, I didn't mean I necessarily love getting up early, because I don't know if anyone does, but I love that you do that. And I love that you are a stand for that. And I've definitely heard a lot about people having like a morning routine that starts at 5 a.m. and depending on what time you have to be at work. And I work a different schedule almost every day. So getting in that routine, and all it looks like for me is a solid 2 hours before I have to be out the door. And that solid 2 hours looks like drinking water before you look at your phone, which is a huge practice, cleansing the body, having a shower, brushing your teeth, and monotasking, doing one thing at a time. And then maybe you have a meditation practice, or maybe you listen to a podcast while you're getting ready.
Perhaps it's Downhill Dog, Perhaps the Guide to Trying.
Perhaps it's Downhill Dog, the Guide to Trying. Yeah, I think that's really important, in reclaiming your time and being grounded before you walk out the door, so that you can really show up how you want to show up and be that person that at the end of the day you're proud of.
Oh my goodness. Well, I am so proud of you and what you've offered here today. I think that's incredibly important for us to talk about stress. And we both know so many people affected by stress, and people just want to de-stress. And I hope that we have offered a few ways to do that in looking at renewal and how important. Stress is not the problem.
No.
Renewal is the problem.
Lack of renewal,
And get better at it, people. Get better at it.
Do the work.
Who are you? And this has been said to me. Who are you that you don't have to take time for yourself? Do you think you're better than everybody else? Oh my goodness. I will always remember that conversation. And of course, that conversation will show its face again here on The Guide to Trying. Thank you so much, Ty.
Thank you for having me.
If people want to get in contact with you to watch where you're going to be teaching or just what you have to offer, which I think is a hell of a lot, where can they get in contact with you?
You can check out my website, www.yogawithty.com, and you can absolutely follow me on Instagram. I will follow you back. Send me a little message. My handle is at Ty, T-Y, peace, N, the letter N, love. So Ty, peace, and love.
Well, we hopefully have shared a lot of peace and love with Ty today. I am so happy that you're here, honored for your time. And for everyone else, be sure to tune into the next episode of Downhill Dog, The Guide to Trying, to let us self-help you. Until then, I'm Michael Lorsch. Bye for now.